This morning we come to the end of a series of sermons we've been doing on the Holy Spirit. On Wednesday of this week is Ash Wednesday, which is the official start of Lent, which is the 40 days of preparing for Easter and for Good Friday to get our hearts in the right place for that very holy season of Holy Week and Good Friday, Easter Sunday. If you grew up in a liturgical church or a traditional church, maybe Shrove Tuesday was part of your tradition. That's pancakes on Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is a day of fasting and confession. Shrove Tuesday was a time of eating pancakes and enjoying the last freedom we had before Lent started. If you didn't grow up in a church, maybe Mardi Gras was more your style. And that also is that Tuesday. Carnival and Mardi Gras, literally just Fat Tuesday, just the time when for Lent you give up meat every day but Sunday. And so you would eat it all up on that day and have a party and do all that. But we're going to start a series of sermons on Jesus coming up. So today we're winding up the series, and we wanted to end it with this idea that God is calling us with spiritual gifts to do something with our lives. But we wanted to put it at the end because we believe that if your character is not right, serving God can be damaging. And there's nothing perhaps more dangerous than success without character. And so we've kind of been working our way through some parts of the Holy Spirit and what He does in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit and other things. And this morning, that idea of spiritual gifts, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 8 verses. It's in your sermon notes and reading this morning from the New Living. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. And God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." And Father, as we reflect on that, I pray that you would help us to understand this morning more about your giftedness in our lives, your desires for us, the opportunities that lie before us. Father, I pray my words, our ears, and our hearts would be in the right place, that your Spirit would speak. And we come and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're thinking about the fact that God has given us spiritual gifts. And I don't know if you've ever gone to a high school graduation, but I'm convinced that if you're going to be a high school graduation speaker, they actually download the speech into your brain and then you give it, because everyone I've ever been to has always been the same. And they always say at some point in that speech, you all here have a tremendous future in front of you and you can do anything you want to do. Everything is available to you. The world is your oyster, all that kind of stuff. And it just seems to me that probably that's the cruelest thing anybody could say. It's the wrongest thing they can say. And it's the most unbiblical thing they could say. Because the truth is, none of us are able to do whatever we want. All of us have gifts and all of us have limitations. All of us have things we're good at, things we're not good at. Now, if they're trying to say, you can do more than you think you can, yeah, that's a good thing to say. But if they're trying to say, you can do anything you want, well, not sure that that's the kindest thing you can say to a bunch of graduates. And the whole thing of spiritual gifts ties into that, because what the Bible teaches us is that when we become in relationship with God, we ask God for forgiveness, we accept His offer of forgiveness, we confess our sins, and God gives us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit comes with gifts and abilities. Doesn't come with every gift and ability, comes with specific gifts and abilities. And we need to figure out what those are. And I think for many of us, we're just confused. Yeah, I hear they're spiritual gifts, but I don't really know what they are, and I sure don't know mine. Others of us sort of have an inkling, maybe, with it, well, I think I know what my gift is, but I'm a little embarrassed to tell anybody in case they just laugh at me or they think I'm a little bit puffed up. And I really don't know how to use it anyway, but I think I know what it is. Some of us just think that spiritual gifts are, you know, for when I get to be a little further along in the Christian journey. You know, when I get to be much more mature, I will find a gift and God will be able to use me. And what we're going to try and say this morning is that God gives everybody a gift. You have it now if you have a relationship with God. You need to figure out how to figure out what it is and how to use it because it has tremendous benefits with it. So maybe let's start with a definition. What is a spiritual gift? Well, I'm sort of changing my mind a little bit on that as I get old. And one of the things I believe it is, it's an ability that every Christian has that we use to serve God. Every Christian is given this ability by His Holy Spirit, and we use it to serve God. But I'm also more and more convinced that it's also any gift or ability that we give to God and allow Him to infuse with His Holy Spirit so that we serve Him. I always get that question, what's the difference between ability and a gift? You know, these guys up here, are they gifted or they just have a musical ability? Well, I think when they turn that ability over to God and allow His Spirit to infuse it, it becomes a gift. Well, the question comes then, if that's the definition, well, who has these gifts? Well, the Bible seems to suggest everybody. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, if you have accepted His Holy Spirit into your life, He has come with a gift for you. And the question comes, well, why does He come with a gift? And the simple answer is, He's come to help us build each other up. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. They're for the common good. They're not to make us wealthy. They're not to make us famous. They're not to make us feel good. They are there for us to use for the building up of the body. Ephesians sort of goes on a little bit further and talks about that. And Paul says, now here are some of the gifts God gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. And we're going to develop that a little further as we go too. But the whole concept is that these gifts are for the good of the body. Well, maybe they're for three different reasons. The first one is they build us up. They mature us. One of the ways we grow is by discovering what our gift is and then beginning to use it. Say you've got the gift of teaching and you're teaching Sunday school. So this morning we have 30 some of our grade 4, 5, 6 kids and their leaders out at Gull Lake Camp for the winter retreat. And they're probably worshiping as we say. But say you're called to children's ministry and you're called to teach in that, and that's your gift. And as you start to do that, one of the things you learn very quickly is that you learn far more than the people you're teaching. As a teacher, you've done more research, you've done more work, you've tried to put it together, you've tried to be able to explain it in a very, very simple way, and you are built up by using the gift. Maybe it's a gift of evangelism or a gift of something like that where you're just feeling threatened by the fact that, you know, I need to go speak to that, and you rely on God's presence more. And gifts build us up. Secondly, they build others up. This is a way of encouraging, if you've got a gift of teaching, encouraging your students. If you've got a gift of leadership or whatever, it builds up the people around you. And then thirdly, it builds up the church. Gifts, it says, are for the common good. They're not to puff me up. They're to build up the church itself. And Paul uses that image throughout the Bible throughout his part of the Bible, of the church is a body. And he says we're all uniquely gifted. Some of us are fingers, some of us are toes, some of us are kidneys, some of us are very obvious, some of us are pretty behind the scenes, but we're all needed. And each part builds up the whole. We're going to talk about communion this morning, and we're going to talk about gathering together, that we gather together, that we do these things together. And the diversity that is within us is what gives us strength. And I think the diversity within the church is what gives the church strength. So we're Baptists, unabashedly Baptists. We think Baptists are almost perfect, but, you know, we're working on that last little bit. But you know what I believe? I believe every denomination is a gift from God. I believe you have the Mennonites who give us that pacifist strength. You have the Quakers who have a kind of holiness tradition. You have the United Church, which has a strong social action component. You have the Alliance Church with missional and healing, and the Pentecostals with charismatic gifts, and the Catholics with this high reverence for God. And everyone has their gifts. Every one of them has their weaknesses, including us. And we need to learn from each other and work together. We're part of the body. Well, if we're part of the body and if gifts do all these things, I guess the next question would be, why don't we use our gifts? Now, many of you do, but I'm thinking probably here this morning there's some of you that don't. And I'm just kind of thinking, well, why is it that we don't do that? And the first one, I think, is that we don't recognize them as gifts. You know, if it came labeled, you know, if when we became a Christian, God just downloaded this thing in our brain and said, okay, you have the gift of whatever. But he doesn't. And so we start to try and discover them. And as we're discovering them, one of the things that I think about spiritual gifts is when we have a gift of something, we just have an ability to do it. God gives us this ability, and it seems fairly natural and fairly easy. And sometimes we think, well, that's not a gift. Anybody could do this. And then we realize, if we're careful, and we look around, no, other people can't just do this. So let's pick on the gift of evangelism. Maybe you wish you had the gift of evangelism. I wonder if you have the gift of evangelism. The statistics from people that do this kind of stuff says less than 10% of people have the gift of evangelism. We all have a responsibility for evangelism. We're going to talk about that. But a gift where you know, you just lead people to Christ. It's a rare and unique gift, and it's a wonderful gift that we have. And when you have it, you often write a book about it. And if you've read a book about evangelism, it's usually by someone who has a gift. And when you have a gift, you don't exactly know how you do what you do. You just do it. And you tend to think other people can do it. So you read a book about evangelism, and it's this guy that's got this gift of evangelism, and he goes into Starbucks. And in 15 minutes, he leads someone to Christ, and they become a Christian right there. And a year later, he runs into them, and they've started an orphanage in Uganda. It's got 300 kids. It's got a church connected to it with 500 people, and the president of Uganda is starting to attend. And you go, well, why can't I do that? And because you don't have that gift. You have a different gift that God can use. So I don't know. I just think, you know, I was thinking of what my gifts are. I don't know what they are. You know, this is the thing where you get embarrassed when you say your gifts. I think I have a gift of preaching. That's why I do it 45 times a year. One of the things about preaching is I have no idea how I write a sermon. People sometimes ask me, well, how did you kind of end up there? Well, I have no idea, because that's part of a gift is you just don't know. So starting next week, we're going to do our new series for Lent where we're going to listen to a song from Jesus Christ Superstar and then think of what that tells us about Jesus. I told this a couple of people, and they said, well, how did you get to there? Well, here's the best way I know how to explain it. I went to Rosebud Theater to see Joseph and the Technicolor Coat, and I kind of fell in love with the musical. And I went to the library, and I took out the Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's autobiographies, and I read those to try and figure out who these guys were, which got me back into Jesus Christ Superstar, which all of you know I think is the best musical ever written. And so it got me back into that. And I thought, oh, that's cool. If I ever was allowed to teach about Jesus at a seminary, what I've always thought was I would do is I would do it the way they teach law or business at Harvard. And there they don't lecture. What they do is case study. So they read a case study about a business, and then you develop how you would deal with that. And out of that, you learn kind of how that works. And what I would do is I would get all the heresies from the early church, and we would read those. And then we would say, well, okay, this is a heresy. What does the Bible say? Where did they go wrong? What did they miss? And we would learn about Jesus that way. And then I thought, well, you know what? Jesus Christ Superstar, not one of the people gets Jesus right in that entire musical. It's pretty well all heretical. But it's heretical in a unique way, each song. And each song, I think, reflects one of the ways that our neighbors thinks about Jesus. And so I thought, well, what if instead of reading a bunch of heresy, we just listen to some? And we'll just listen to a song each week and watch it on the big screen. And then we'll figure out, well, what does it say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about Jesus? What are our neighbors thinking about Jesus? And what's a simple way to explain to them the difference? I call that a gift. You call it whatever you want, you know. It's all good. But that's the thing about gifts, is you really can't explain how you get to where you got to. You just get there. First thing, you don't recognize them as gifts. Secondly, you don't have the self-confidence to use them. You know, others are better at whatever it is that we do than us. And we just don't have that gift. And so we just don't have the self-confidence to use it. It's like we've been given a gift. You know, it's like Christmas morning has come and gone, and we've opened all the presents under the tree. And all of a sudden we discover in the very, very back, in the very corner, underneath the branches, is this beautifully wrapped present that hasn't been touched. And for many of us in our lives, that's a spiritual gift that's in our life. We just have never opened it up. We've just never had the confidence to kind of do it, and it's sort of just got hidden, forgotten behind the tree. Thirdly, maybe sometimes we just don't have the opportunity. You know, if you're in a really, really large church, they just have really, really good people that run everything, and it's hard to find a place. If you're in a really small church, it's hard to have enough positions for people. And a mid-sized church like ours, you know, we should be able to have enough positions, but not so many people that we can't do it. So we would love to help you find your gift. Part of what Tyler's going to do in that SHAPE seminar is to help you do that. But not every gift needs to be done in this church. There's lots of great agencies that need giftedness in the community. There's small groups and other places where we can use our gifts. But we need to help you find an opportunity to use your giftedness. Well, that all presupposes that you know what your gift is. And so maybe for our final question, we just have to ask the question, how do you discover gifts? Well, obviously you come to the SHAPE seminar, but one of the things we believe in church is that we go through a process of growing as a Christian. So you're seeking to be a Christian, and when you become a Christian, it's like you're born again. And born again suggests baby. So the first stage of that is kind of being an infant. And an infant is, infants don't know much, they can't do much, they tend to dirty themselves a little bit, you know, they cry a lot, you know, so when we become spiritual infants, we don't know a lot of stuff, and we make mistakes. That's just part of being an infant. We grow up a little bit, and we become a spiritual youth. Well, a youth is starting to figure things out. Where an infant, it's all about them. That's all they know. Their whole frame of reference is sort of inside their minds. And a new Christian is that way. You know, what's in this relationship for me with God? As a youth, we're starting to move away from that, but not consistently. The thing about youth is they're inconsistent. We call them part-time adults. Sometimes their maturity stuns you, and sometimes their immaturity stuns you, and they sort of flip back and forth. And it's that way for us as Christians. We become a Christian, we want God to be the center of our lives, except when we don't, and then we kind of fall back a little bit, and we come forward, and we sort of have identified our gifts. We've investigated as an infant, but we haven't yet, whatever. And then we become spiritual adults, and spiritual adults are people who have put Christ at the center of their lives. They're living for God. That's important for them. He's the center of their life. As a youth, it's sort of God plus me. It's one more thing. By an adult, we've kind of got that figured out. And as a parent, all a parent is an adult who's reproduced. In other words, as parents, we try to lead other people towards faith in various ways. So let's apply that to spiritual gifts. For an infant, the spiritual gifts, it's an investigation phase. We're just beginning to explore. Well, what are the gifts? What do they do? This is what this first part of the sermon was trying to lay the foundation for. What gifts could I have? What gifts are maybe there? And then as a youth, we start to explore those gifts and we begin to experiment with them. The only way you know if you have a gift or not is to try it. And you're going to fail and you're going to succeed. And you just got to live with the successes. So you think you have a gift, you try it, people come up to you and say, I don't think that's you, let's try something else. Or else they come up to you and say, man, you know, I think you have a potential here. And the word potential is important because spiritual gifts don't come fully formed. They come small and they grow. You develop your ability, and as you experiment, you begin to see those gifts develop. As a youth, success and failure, consistency and inconsistency, that's all part of being a spiritual youth. Maybe some of you are starting to figure out your level of maturity in the Christian faith at this point. An adult is using their gift, seeing results, and consistently using it. They're serving in a regular capacity, in a regular place, and they're using those gifts and they're seeing God use them. It's exciting, it's rewarding, and it's sort of that peak of the thing. But there's one more stage, and that's that stage of parent. And the idea of a parent is a parent reproduces. And so when you have a spiritual gift as a parent, what you start to do is you start to back off using the gift yourself, and you begin to come alongside others who you've identified that have a similar gift to yours, and you begin to encourage them. You create space for their gifts to be used. You create encouragement. You help them. Oh, you know, I learned some stuff along the way. Yeah, I got discouraged too, but I kept going. And this whole idea of a spiritual parent is we reproduce that gift. See, parents reproduce what they are. Parent dogs reproduce dogs. Parent people reproduce people. So parent churches reproduce churches. Parent small group leaders reproduce small group leaders. Parent people with the gift of teaching or worship reproduce people with the gift of teaching and worship. And we learn to work our way through the spiritual gifts through our levels of maturity. And then just a couple of final thoughts before we come to communion this morning. One of the thoughts is that each of us has a gift, but we also have a role. So maybe you don't have the gift of evangelism, but even so, you have the role of witness. You have the role of talking about Jesus, talking about God, talking about your relationship with Him. Now, maybe you won't lead anyone to Christ. Now, that's why we have Alpha. You invite them to come along to Alpha, where we have some gifted people who can work with them. Or you bring someone else who's gifted alongside. You know, maybe go for coffee, the three or four of you or whatever. Maybe you don't have the gift of giving. You know, some people have this gift of giving like 30, 40, 50% of their salary. But we all have the role of tithing. We all have the role of giving. Maybe you don't have, the gift of prayer where you can pray and intercede for hours. But we all have the role of prayer and praying. So each of these is not only a gift, but it's a role. And because you don't have the gift, it does not let you off the hook. I don't have to do that. All it means really simply is, I will not see the same results as others who are gifted, but I still have a role to play there. I need to find where my gift is and concentrate there, but I will have these roles as well. And the second thing is, I just think there's some places that are tasks that you don't need a gift for. So we set up chairs every morning. What is the gift of chair setting? Ability to draw a straight line, I guess, you know, looking the way we set up here. I don't know. I don't think there's a gift to chair setting. It's just setting. It's just a task. You know, the gift of making coffee, the gift of ushering, the gift of greeting. It's just a task. And I think each of us have to figure out, are there tasks that we can do that will build up the body? And we can't say, well, that's not my gift, because it's nobody's gift. It just is. Just something that we come alongside each other and do. And we try to do in a relationship, we try to do to encourage each other, we try to do to build up each other. So this morning, just this thought that God is calling us to make a difference in the world. He's equipping us to make a difference in the world. He's blessing us to make a difference in the world. And we need to figure out what that is, because that's the place that we're going to find satisfaction, where the world is going to find results, and where God is going to be blessed. And this whole idea of spiritual gifts is that we each have giftedness that's there. We also each have roles, and we need to continue to play the roles. And there are some tasks that don't need gifts, and we just need to be working together, encouraging each other in that area. As we have gifts, they're going to develop through a process. As a spiritual infant, we're going to kind of investigate. As a spiritual youth, we're going to evaluate and experiment. As an adult, we're going to find joy and blessing in it. And as a parent, we're going to start to come alongside others and reproduce them. And the question this morning, as we come to the end of this morning, is, do you know your gift? Have you kind of figured that out? Well, let me invite you to come out in a couple of weeks to this seminar, or just talk to us, and maybe we can help you, give you some stuff on how to figure that out. If you have a gift, have you unwrapped it? Have you begun to develop it? Have you allowed the body to encourage you? Have you begun to see it being used? Are you using your gift and blessing God and blessing His church and blessing the world? I just think there's so much joy in being able to see a difference made through our lives. And one of the results of having God's Holy Spirit in our lives is that God can use us to make a difference. Might be a small difference, might be a big difference. But one day we're going to stand before the throne of God and He's going to say, "What did you do with what I gave you?" And I believe we'll be held accountable at that moment. And so this morning we think about that. We think about communion this morning. That it's through Jesus' death and His resurrection that we can be put in a place where God can use us. And the whole thing about communion is that we eat and drink the one loaf, the one bread, the one cup. It's like worship this morning. We sing the same songs. We hear the same sermon. Could we hear a better sermon on the internet? Of course you can. Could you hear songs that you like more than the ones we sang this morning? Of course you can. But you can't do them together. And part of the whole giftedness of the body is it brings the body together. It builds up the body. Part of worship is it builds up the body. And part of communion is we're going to gather around this table and be reminded that all of this is because God has made a difference in our lives, that He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And we're going to gather to remind ourselves that whether it's in our relationship with God or in our service of God, we do it together as His people. So, Father God, as we come and begin to prepare for communion this morning, we pray, O God, that You would help us to discover our giftedness. Help us to develop that. Help us to see Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, partly because, as Paul says, we become Your co-laborers, Your co-workers, that through the power and the giftedness of Your Spirit, we come alongside the work that You're doing in this world. And so, Father God, as we come to communion this morning, we pray that You would be preparing our hearts, reminding us that none of this is because of us, but all of it is because You sent Jesus Christ into the world to make us the people who can receive Your Spirit. And so we come as Your body to prepare for communion this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.